Now we're up to number 50 of the 48 ways. Number 50 of the 48 ways is a Omer Davar, b'shem Omro. The last of the 48 ways is a Omer Davar, b'shem Omro. A Omer means he says, Davar, something, point of wisdom, b'shem Omro, in the name of who he heard it. If you want to live, you've got to learn to give credit where credit is due. You've got to own up to where you got a piece of information. So we'll discuss how do you do that. But there are three aspects you got to stick to. Number one is negative. Don't take the credit when it's not yours. Don't pretend. Don't say it's your idea if it's not yours. Number two is know when you hear something, know who gave it to you. When you're buying something, know where it's coming from. Number three, the third aspect is give credit where credit is due. Appreciate that a piece of wisdom that you've bought is a gift that's more valuable than a gold Cadillac. If you really learn how to be happy, it's much more valuable than a gold Cadillac. You know, if somebody gave you a gold Cadillac, you'll have a fond feeling towards this gentleman. Yeah? Learn to have a fond feeling for anybody who's given you a piece of wisdom that's a precious gift. Does that make sense? These three aspects. Now we're going to divide it into three aspects. And the how do you go about doing this? So number one is negative. Don't steal the credit when it's not yours. In order to give credit where credit is due, you have to avoid stealing credit. Yeah? Number two is that face a reality, and this is the nature of mankind, that we are all susceptible to stealing credit. We all have this, we're all grabbing for position, for one-upmanship, for status. Yeah? And an idea, an answer to a question, or even a good question, we like to pose as the author. Do you see that? This is our nature. This is the nature of human beings. B of this is that, look, we human beings even take credit for our society's views. Something which is common, like, come on, I've made a decision a long time ago. There is no such thing as absolute truth. He made the decision a long time ago. He picked it up in high school. He picked it up on the television program. Do you understand? Well, I've decided there is no God. When I was 18 years old, I thought it over, and I decided there is no God. You thought it over, you heard the evidence, you waited out. Can I see your evidence for your decision? How did you come to that conclusion? Well, I just made this decision. Maybe you had a good friend who impressed you with his... You follow? We pick up ideas from our society and we walk around presenting them as if they are our own ideas. As if it's our own independent conclusion. Something that I've thought about and I've reached this conclusion. We should give back the West Bank. We shouldn't give back the West Bank. We're spouting ideas from columnists, from the society around us, from our Jews think. Jews are the greatest. Either way, this is the nature of human beings, and we pose as the author. So number three is appreciate the harm it does you. And what is the harm that it does you to pose as the author of an idea that you picked up on the street? A is that, look, it locks you into a position. If you've come to the conclusion that there is no God, then you're not looking for the evidence. If you come to the conclusion that there is no absolute truth, then you're assuming that you've investigated it, you have a firm position. Now, go and find the evidence. If you say, well, people say there is no God, or people say there is no absolute truth, what do you think? You're not locked into a position. Do you understand that? When you accept somebody else's statement, and you present it as your own, you're locking yourself in. You got to defend it now. Now you got to man the rebounds, you got to get your guns, you gotta... It's do or die. It's you. Own up. I picked it up on the street. What do you say? It's no good? Well, let me take a look at it. It's a dead rat. Get rid of it. Yeah. But if it's something you created, it's gotta be defended. But B of this is that it's more harmful than that, you see. It's dreamland. It's living illusions. To think that you've thought through the issue of God when you haven't thought through the issue of God, or you've thought through the issue of homosexuality or morality or absolute truth when you haven't. It's a dreamland. It's boasting. It's pretending. You're play acting. You're not living. You've got to be real. If you want to live, you've got to be real. You've got to know whether you studied it, you thought about it, or you haven't. Oh, but I've had so many arguments about God, I'm sick and tired of it. Please make a list of how many times you really had a debate as to whether there is a God or not. When's the last time? What was it? 2 years ago when you were... When's the last time, really? When's the last time somebody presented you evidence and you really slugged it out? Was it ever? This is dreamland. You got to be real. C of this is that, let me tell you, my friend, if you ever meet someone who's a wise man or people of quality, they'll only have contempt for you to present ideas as your own when they're not even considered. For discerning people, you're a fool. Do you understand that? And the important part, if you want to be appreciated by others, is be appreciated by discerning people, by people who understand how to appreciate people. That's where it counts. All right, number four is, if I convince you that you gotta get out of this, so toughen up, be real, own up. If you know that you haven't thought about an idea, say, look, you know, it sounds pretty ridiculous, but I haven't really heard the evidence for God or against God. I haven't really considered the idea as to whether there is an absolute truth. I don't know about it. I've heard of an opinion. Toughen up, own up. Own up. I haven't thought about it. I haven't thought about whether we should give back the West Bank or we shouldn't. I haven't really heard the different approaches. I hear that people say it's a threat to our security. I hear that people say that there's no peace without it. I don't know. I haven't really sat down to think through the issue. B of this is appreciated. It's a good, healthy feeling. Do you see it's a good, healthy feeling? A good, healthy feeling. So I haven't settled all the issues of living, you know? Right? And you'll be respected for it. Number five is that in order to do this, you always have to ask yourself, and it would be best if you can do it out loud, but ask yourself quietly, you know, who am I quoting? Where did I get this opinion? Where did I get this opinion? Where did I come to the conclusion that there is no absolute truth? Track it back. Right now, sit down. You know, everybody has the suspicion that there's no way you can know truth. Yeah? Where'd you get that opinion? Track it down. Trying to figure it out. It's a little perplexing. When did I come to that conclusion? Yes, ma'am.
So say, how do you determine whether something is truly brought through or something is just seeped in through a process of subliminal suggestion? Like, say, here at the yeshiva, you repeat something every day. How much of it can you truly say, well, I thought it through, it makes sense? And can you totally get rid of the doubt in your mind that it is thought through correctly and it is something of your own?
Mark, and it's a good question. Mark asks, when can you be sure of your own opinion? When can you be sure that you're right? Can you ever be right? Can you ever be sure? Can you ever know the difference? That's a good question. Now, I would say that has about three different steps. We're talking about the very first step. Check it out. Where'd you get this opinion? Right? The second step is, please, Mark, are you sure you got 10 fingers? Are you sure you're not making a mistake? Get in touch. We can be sure. I mean, build up your self-confidence. If you lose that self-confidence, you're quitting to live. Do you understand? Are you sure you are in Jerusalem today? Are you sure you are Mark Levine? Get in touch with the fact that Thank God there are some things we can be sure of. Third step is to distinguish what is the problem. Why is it some things you're sure of and some things you're not sure of? Yeah. And then the next step is to learn how the dynamics of clarity, of decision, of knowledge works. You've got to learn how to feel that surety and where it comes from and how to distinguish it. Know what you know is a course that we give you. Very important. That's know what you know.
Okay, number six is that really all of you learn to do it. Make a list of your opinions, of things that drive you. Do you have free will? Is there a God? Is there an absolute truth? What's your opinion upon these subjects? Yeah, and then check it out. Track it down. Where'd you get it? When did you get this opinion? Is it yours? Do you really think so? Why do you think so? Who told it to you? But the first step is first track it down. When did you make this decision? On what basis? On whose statement? Track them down. That's an excellent exercise, and it will get you in touch with your real self. Who's you? And who are you being a friend for? Number seven is that it's very important to track down where you get the most precious concepts. Make a list of your treasures. Do you believe that you should love humanity? The brotherhood of man? Do you believe that all human beings should be given a fair trial? Justice for all? Do you believe in tolerance? Are these treasures? Do you understand that these are treasures? That really there should be peace on earth? War is the devil? Put down the treasures, the things that you feel are good. You know, these are good. These make you feel good. Yeah? And then track down, my friend, where they come from. Society. Where did society get it from? Where did society get it from? Track it down. Find out. When did they find out that really peace on earth and goodwill to men is the right way of doing business? When did the idea infiltrate humanity? And you'll find your greatest treasures, good Jewish products. All right, Roman numeral 2 is give credit where credit is due. So number 1 is focus and appreciate that all being taught, when you're taught something, all that is someone showing you that you know it. Otherwise, you can't be taught. If I give you a definition of love and you find that it's true, you have to know that it's something that you know. Do you see that? Our definition of love is an emotion of pleasure. Then do you recognize that love is an emotion of pleasure? If you don't recognize it, I can't convince you. You have to look into yourself. Do you love anyone? Is it pleasurable? Yeah, okay. True. Love is an emotion of pleasure that we human beings have. Is that my human being? Yeah. It's an emotion of pleasure that we human beings have when we see beauty, virtue, good in another being, and we identify that being with the virtue, good, and beauty. So, the only way you know that I'm telling you the truth is you say, well, I love my brother. Yeah. Now, do I have pleasure? Yeah. Okay, what's the pleasure? Well, he is a strong fellow. He's honest. He's full of vitality. Yeah, that's my pleasure. Is that what love is? I don't know. Maybe it's something else. Well, look, I'll give you an example. If you ask a father, you love your son, that's the easiest love. Parents to children. He says, sure, I love my son. What do you love about your son? Well, he's intelligent. He's beautiful. He's kind. Full of vitality. He's everything under the sun, yeah? You say, isn't it true, and tell me the truth, you know, let's be objective about this. Isn't it true that your son is a whining hypochondriac? Now, the father can't tell you, yeah, I love him, he's such a whining hypochondriac. He says, well, what do you want? He was sickly all his life. I mean, yeah, big deal. A healthy guy, you don't understand. He'll grow out of it. We'll get him some help. But you're going to fault him for being a hypochondriac because of the fact that he's got a sickly background? So the fault, we dismiss. It's not real. We love them for the virtue. Now, you have to check it out again and see. Convinced? So if you really are taught something, somebody shows you that you know it. Otherwise, you've been brainwashed. Does that make sense? You're checking it out inside, and you're agreeing. Focus. Is that true? Do you see that? Okay, so B of this is, therefore, when somebody, and this happens all the time, a guy says to you, come on, I'll teach you how to love humanity. He says, you can't teach love. He said, well, I'll give you the definition for love. There's no definition. Say, come on, give me 10 minutes. All right. Yeah, that's the definition. But I knew it all along. You didn't teach me a thing. Focus, friend. If you knew it all along, you've been taught. What do you mean I've been taught? I knew it all along. If now you knew, now you know that you knew it, that means you were taught. You get it? Don't make the mistake, otherwise you won't give anybody any credit. You won't give a teacher credit for teaching you because you'll think, well, of course, obvious, I knew it all along. Especially if he's a good teacher. Okay, so number two is, decide and say to yourself, whenever you discover that you knew it all along, you know that makes sense. Happiness is an obligation. There is an absolute truth. But say to yourself, now I am aware of something worthwhile. This is an important thing. I have just now discovered that I knew something very important that I wasn't paying attention to. Do you understand? Say it to yourself. Number three is, know and say it to yourself. If this is worthwhile for me, this is very important. Happiness is an obligation. Definition for love, very worthwhile. Then this is worth teaching, showing to others, and it's worth quoting. Just be aware of it so that if the quote comes out of your mouth, you'll remember that you were taught by the Jewish people, by a teacher, by a man. Number four is, make a list of the things that you do quote. And remember who taught it to you, where you got it, where you discovered, where you found out that you knew it all along. Again, it's that list of that precious stuff. Love humanity. Everybody here thinks we should love all humanity. Yeah. Okay. Check it out. Where did I get that? Where did it come from? Society. Well, society teaches us this. Yeah, all societies. Well, it's Western society. What's special? When did Western society start talking about that? Well, yeah. But track it down and say, you know, the Jewish people gave this to the world. Number five is that in Jewish tradition, in our heritage, in our instructions for living, when you have a teacher who's your real source of your wisdom, then all you have to do is identify yourself as a student of Rabbi such and such. And it's taken for granted that unless you heard something from someone else, you're quoting him. Yeah.
Isn't there a point where you lose credibility because you're just telling the people that you learned it from, and it doesn't sound like it's coming from you, like you put anything together?
Aaron asks, aren't you losing credibility when you say, look, this fellow taught me that love is an obligation. And this guy taught me that you have to really, you have to be tough. And this fellow taught me this. So who the heck are you? My friend, I'm a man who knows who I am. Huh? You want to hear what I came up with? My inventions for living? Or shall we first go through the important things that all men should know? At any rate, Roman numeral 3 is that, look, it's not enough to give credit where credit is due, but know that someone gave you a piece of wisdom, a window at living. A tool for pleasure, he gave you something more precious than a Cadillac or a tape recorder or a trip to the Bahamas. Appreciate. You owe him something. You owe him a good feeling. Yeah, that's the third aspect. So how do we go about doing this? So number one is, appreciate when you hear a piece of wisdom. Focus on how much difference does it make? How much difference does it make if happiness is an obligation and you do some work and you got it? Or if it's a happening, you got to wait for the right stars to meet in conjunction and also to get the job and the right girl and have your own business and your hope. How important is it when you understand that happiness is up to you? And with just a little hard work, a little elbow grease, you can have a pleasure of living with ecstasy for the rest of your life. You have to decide for each piece of wisdom, how valuable is it? Otherwise, you can't be grateful to someone if you won't acknowledge that it is precious. When the Cadillac comes in, you don't appreciate him. You appreciate it. You transfer the Cadillac. You say, oh, my uncle is a sweet soul. So nice. What a nice guy. Huh? Is that right? Appreciate it. You'll appreciate the gift. That makes sense? So B of this is, if it makes sense to you, take the pieces of wisdom that you've picked up, that you've tracked down, which you should have done in 1 and 2, yeah? In the first aspect and the second aspect of the how, and then evaluate them. Evaluate, how precious are they? Is it a really great gift to know that love is an obligation? Oh boy, is that a gift. But you gotta appreciate what a gift it is. Fella out of love with my wife and my children. Oh boy, poor soul. Yeah. Fell out of love. You fall out of infatuation. You don't fall out of love. See if this is, in order to really appreciate the value, describe the difference. If you know that love is an obligation, you marry a woman, that's it, you work at it the rest of your life. And you'll get better at it all the time. If you really work at it, you get better at driving all the time, you drive all the time. You work at love all the time, you get better at it. And you know that the more you love your wife, the happier she is, and a happy wife is a happy life. Right? Everybody knows that? A happy wife is a happy life. You know that? You don't know it yet. Wait. Wait. All right, number two is that once you've made this list and you've evaluated, then acknowledge it to yourself as a valuable gift. Who gave it to you? You know, you owe the guy something. If somebody gives you a car as a gift, that's very nice. You got a gift. Where you come from? You know, why'd you choose me? Isn't that nice of you? Look, can I give you a whirl? Maybe I can drive you down to the station. Right? You feel it's a debt. You got to do something for the fella. Show, acknowledge, make him feel good about giving it to you. Tell him how much you appreciate it. Right? Wonderful. Acknowledge. Wonderful gift, the piece of wisdom. Thank you very much. What's your name? Oh, it's very nice of you. Yeah. It's great to hear this. I hope I'll remember when I use it. Who gave it to me? Huh? Promise I'll take good care of your car. Number three is that acknowledge this debt to others. You go driving down the street with a Cadillac of rum that you just picked up, you know, somebody gave you a Cadillac, and somebody says, hey, where'd you get that Cadillac? Don't say, well, you know, I worked as a lawyer for a couple of weeks and I earned the money. Come on, you know. So you know where I got this Cadillac? There's this wonderful guy, he walked over, he gave me a pair of keys. Yeah? Acknowledge it. For goodness sake, acknowledge your debt. This is a wonderful guy. He's a sweet guy. I never met such a fine fellow. You've got to give piece of wisdom, acknowledge it. Pay that debt by acknowledging it. Does that make sense? Don't pretend. Acknowledge it. Number four is that enjoy paying the debt. You see, When you get a Cadillac, it's not a threat to you. You say, ah, the guy gave me a gift, yeah? You don't say, then what will people think of me because I got a gift as a Cadillac, yeah? Why didn't you earn it yourself? You say, look, I got lucky today, yeah? But when it's a piece of wisdom, we don't want to acknowledge somebody taught me how to live. Somebody taught me something important for living. I wasn't smart enough to do it myself. You understand? I walked around thinking that happiness was a happening until somebody opened my eyes. It's a whole threat to stature. So, enjoying paying it. Don't loathe paying it. Hey, the guy took the scales off my eyes. It's fantastic. It's a different life. I know I can do it any time. And I even got a little bit of a knack already. I can throw myself up in the morning. I get up and I say, it's great to be alive, and it's a different day. Enjoy paying the debt. Don't let that dopey thing of you, like, well, you didn't do this before. That's all right. Enjoy paying the debt. This guy helped me. There's a goodness to paying a debt. Number five is that, my friend, you want to increase the pleasure for living 1,000%, no sweat. Make a list of the things that your parents taught you, the gifts they gave you about living. Every one of us has gotten gifts from our parents. Your sense of honesty, your desire for truth, to be fair to people. Come on, track it down. Track it down. What did you get from your parents? Find out. Your discipline, your appreciation for people. Every one of us has gotten gifts from our parents. Track them down. B is, acknowledge it to yourself. You'll feel better just doing that. You'll feel a more real love for your parents and appreciation of what it is that they are and what it is that you owe them. C of this is, for goodness sake, let them know about it. Do you understand what kind of pleasure you'll give them and what pleasure you'll have in giving them pleasure? Acknowledge it to them. Own up to them. And own up to everyone that you meet. You'll increase your life, your self-respect, your strength, your pleasure, your relation with your parents infinitely. Start living. Do you see that now? Do you understand that? It's so easy. It's so easy. And it's so much you can do for them and for yourself. And the energy that's involved. I wish you would do that. It's not such a big deal. But number six is that after you do that, then make a list of the people that you got things from. You know, your friends, your teachers. Each one of them point. You have a friend who set you straight on something. Recognize it. Have a little loyalty. You'll be able to make friends that way. You have an employer who taught you something about living. Recognize it. You'll get a raise. Let him know about it. Acknowledge it to him and to others. Do you understand? It's a powerful tool for living, friend. Powerful tool for living. B of this is, take note of who gives you quite a number of things and make a better friend of him or a more permanent teacher. Do you understand? You know, if you take note of who gave you stuff, you just notice this guy, you know, he straightened me out 5 times. He saved me from doing some stupid things. He's really a helpful friend. All right. You stick to him. Valuable friend. This teacher really gave me some important information, yeah? He's changed my life. Stick to him. Don't move away. You know where you're getting it from. Hold on to it. Does that make sense? All right, number seven is that, my friend, let's get down to a basic, and that is, what do we human beings of the 20th century owe to the Jewish people? Come on, track it down. What did they teach humanity? Well, sit down and figure it out. Figure it out. How much did they teach humanity? Acknowledge your debt. Quote them. Acknowledge it to others. Do you see that? That's the least you can do for the Jewish people. The least you can do. If you're not going to commit yourself for the long-term haul, the least you can do, and this goes for non-Jews too, the least you can do for the Jewish people, coming after us and telling we have an intransigent people, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You, if they knew how much we gave him, but without that inhumanity, the least you can do for yourself is know. How much did the world learn? How much did you learn from the Jewish people? Number eight is that if you've done all the above, perhaps you can start loving God. He's the one who gave us our ability to understand. In Judaism, we have a Jewish consciousness story. See, a Jewish consciousness story, I repeat, there's such a thing as Western consciousness. If you want to know what a Western consciousness story is, an example is, did anybody in this room ever hear of Little Red Riding Hood? Inconceivable somebody born in the Western world doesn't identify Little Red Riding. Yeah? Inconceivable. I can't imagine. Where were you born? Where'd you grow up? If you were born in a Jewish community with Jewish consciousness, you were born in a Western community, you heard of Little Red Riding Hood. You come down to my kids, you ask my kids, did you ever hear of Little Red Riding Hood? Little Red Riding Hood? They don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. They don't know who it is, right? But if you come to a Jewish community and you ask them, did you ever hear that when you were in your mother's womb, an angel was sent by God and he taught you? That angel sat there in your mother's womb while you were being formed, while your body was being formed. Yeah? He taught your soul everything there is to know about living. Everything that there is to know about pleasure, about living, about existence. He sat there in your mother's womb, patiently giving you all the information that you need for this world and for your need for eternity. And just before you're born, he touches you under the nose. The same angel that sat there all this time patiently teaching you, touches you under the nose, that indentation, and you forget it all. You forget the whole thing. And that's why every human being has this indentation. So, this is a Jewish consciousness story which has a very important lesson. And that lesson is that the Almighty programmed us. He taught us all there is to know about living. Our job in this world, an angel is a messenger of God. The Almighty programmed us with wisdom. Our job in this world is to remind ourselves to struggle to get in contact with what we know. That's why we can communicate with each other. That's why I can teach you what love is, because I'll direct your attention to what the angel taught you. But the original teacher is God. And that's the whole point of this way, is acknowledge God to be the original teacher. We have to give credit to the Almighty. We don't find anything. We rediscover what he taught us. Appreciate that he created us, he taught us how to live, and what we have to do is acknowledge his gift, and we'll know how much we know. It's there. We'll be able to find how much we know. Why now? Why? Why do we need this? So, why do we need this tool? After all, we're living, we're making it. So number one is that
If you don't know where you're getting something from, if you don't track it down, if you won't acknowledge it, you're living illusion. If you're trying to grab credit for everything, you're not going to give up anything. You see that? It twists your mind.
This is important for this. You need it, otherwise you're blind. Number two is that, look, if you know who you're receiving from, you'll get more. The rabbi said, once they, in the Talmud it says that he once found a wise man who taught him something. He said, if I had feet of steel, I wouldn't let you go. I'd go after you wherever you go. Wow. If you know where you're getting it from, you'll go and get some more. If you don't know the difference between fool's gold and real gold, you strike a vein of real gold, you don't go back for any more. It's just another nugget. Another nonsense. You gotta know how to distinguish. Evaluate. If you know where you're getting it from, you'll go and get some more. So be of this is you direct people to the source. See, gold, you'll tell everybody, no, I got it on the other side of the country, yeah. But wisdom, man, let everybody know. You know, the more people are happy, the greater it is to live. Somebody else's being happy doesn't steal any happiness from you. It makes it easier for you to be happy. Somebody else's loving humanity doesn't make it harder for you to love humanity. Do you understand? It makes it easier. Wisdom, the more around, the easier it is for each one. Learn a little bit about living, and there'll be a lot of better people around. Number three is that, you see, one of the reasons that we don't do this is we want independence. But independence is to pay your debts. To scrounge out of your debts is not independence, it's being a parasite. If you own up to being given gifts, that's independence. If you acknowledge it and say, thank you very much, that's independence. That means I'm me, I acknowledge I have a debt. But when I just take and run, I'm a parasite. I have no me. Number four is the whole point of life is sanity. The Almighty loves us, children. He's our Father in heaven. He's given us gifts all the time. The only trouble that we have is we don't want to pay our debts. We don't want to believe He loves us. The same problem we have with our parents. We won't acknowledge they love us. They're pushing us around. Come on, they love us. Acknowledge it. Number five is even a deeper appreciation, you see, that if you're not willing to acknowledge this, God, and acknowledge your debts and the gifts that are given you, you can't appreciate them. The guy who isn't willing to admit that somebody gave him a Cadillac is going to say it's rusty, it doesn't work, it's there's something wrong with him because he doesn't want to acknowledge a debt. You follow? You will never be able to appreciate a piece of wisdom unless you're willing to acknowledge that it's valuable and that you're getting a gift. You'll never be able to appreciate an insight into living unless you're willing to say, wow, this guy gave me a precious commodity. You'll downgrade it. You'll downgrade it. You'll never use it. Okay, as far as an assignment is concerned, my friend, start with this. How many things did your parents teach you? Come on, there's things in your life, there are very important things that you're doing. You're valuable. Things that are valuable in you because of your parents' attitude towards life. They didn't have to say to you, look, be honest. But their honesty transferred to you. Their joyful living. Their ambition. Their steadfastness, their upstanding citizenship. Here's a lot of things. Track it down. Track down at least five your parents gave you. Appreciate how valuable these five things are, each one of them separately. And tonight, write them a letter and tell them, thank you.
You have been listening to Voices from Jerusalem. For a complete listing of our cassettes, see our web store at aish.com. For a free cassette catalog, email us at voices@aish.com or call toll-free in the U.S. 1-800-VOICES-3. Our main office is at 1 Western Wall Plaza, Jerusalem, Israel. Shalom from Jerusalem.